chapter 6 and verse 17, this goes along with verse 16. If you look at the first few words of the verse 16, the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." H-A-T-E, hate. "These six things doth the Lord hate." Well, if the Lord hates something, don't you think you ought to know what they are? Because I certainly don't want to. Hey, listen, if I hate something, I'm fairly certain my children don't want to do it. Amen? I hate Ohio State. Not one of my kids like Ohio State. Not in my house. Amen? Well, I know that's just a joke and that's funny, but understand this. If I hate something, I think we ought to know about it. If the Lord hates something, I think we ought to know about it. Amen? "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." What's the very first thing? A proud look. As we went through every last one of these last week, we found out that God hates pride. There's no two ways you can slice this. You can't make this any prettier. You can't make this sugar-coated. God hates pride. Why? In us, in our flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. How can we be proud of ourselves when in our flesh dwelleth no good thing? Everything good comes from God. Everything. Everything that we could be proud of comes from God. Everything that we could be satisfied with comes from God. The things that our flesh will provide are no good thing. It's kind of difficult to put in perspective because then you're saying, well, Brother Dave, what am I worth? Well, I'll tell you what you're worth. You're worth him sending his only begotten son to die for you. Well, I'm proud of that. Well, don't be proud of that because he died because you're a sinner. Now, let's skip over to 16, verse 5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. I like all the first five verses of this. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:1, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man," how many? "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." Everything you do, or you wouldn't have done it. Amen? Not, let me tell you something. Even a murderer believes he's doing right. He wouldn't have done it. Or he doesn't care, and there's pride. See, this is what happens in our lives as Christians. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Why do we have arguments? Because we believe what we believe is right. You believe what you believe is right. Those two things, they don't agree with each other. There you have a fight. Why is the fight? Because you're proud. You're going to hold on to your weight. Now listen, I've come to the realization of a very important truth. I've been doing this now over 20 years, and I come to the understanding that I'm not right all the time. Neither are you. If it lines up with this, I'll fight for it. I'll fight for it. If it has nothing to do with scriptural things like color of carpet, color of pews, color of walls, I'm not fighting over that. You know why? Because I don't care. The problem is, why do we have church splits? Why do we have people getting messed up? Why do we have people doing it? Because they get so proud over things that are meaningless. We major on the minors and minor on the majors, and that's where our problems come in. We are proud over things when we should not be proud at all. Listen to this. I understand that you ought to have standards. I understand that you ought to have convictions. I understand all those things. But don't you dare look down your nose at somebody that doesn't have the same convictions you do because you're so proud over what you do with your life. Because that's, listen, God, Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, didn't spend his time with well-dressed people. He spent his time rebuking the well-dressed people. He spent his time with commoners, publicans, sinners. That's who he spent his time with. That's who we ought to want to spend our time with. We ought to have a decision in our life. We're not too proud to bring in bus kids. We're not too proud to minister to the bus kids. We're not too proud to do the things that nobody else wants to do. Why? Because we're not too proud. I went out soul winning with my son yesterday. Good Lord, have mercy in my heart. I almost turned around. I really did. We walked down the street. We were on 3rd Street because there's no 4th Street, apparently. It says 4th Street on the map, but I couldn't find 4th Street, so I stuck with 3rd Street. It's one less, but hey, I was on the street, amen? I'm walking with my son. And my son, He has no filter on what he says. I mean, he don't care. He just says what he wants to say. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're walking down the street, and this old man, I'm telling you, he must have been at least 60 years old, I would say 63. He looked like he was 100. He walks outside. You'll understand why I'm saying old here in a minute. Don't get all, that's young. You'll understand. Just hold on. He's got this big perm in his hair. He walks outside with nothing but a Speedo on. If you don't know what a Speedo is a bad excuse for underwear. That's all he's wearing. My son is walking. Dad, he's awfully wrinkly to be wearing that. Everything in me wanted to just turn around and say, you know what, you're not worth the literature I got in my hand, buddy. And we had to walk, and sure enough, wouldn't you know, you want to have conversations with people when you're out soul winning, right? Not naked people, though. People, but not naked people. Naked people, you want to run. Not regular people, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Do you know if you're going, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? I'm not talking to naked people. Not, I could see my picture getting snapped. But there you are. Now listen to me now. Listen. There you are. You've got a choice. Think about this for a moment. In my pride, I could have walked away. But my son, listen to me now. My son says, we still ought to leave him a track. Brat, you know, I can't stop what he's doing. All I can do is introduce him to the Lord because he certainly needs him. See, as you look at these things, I can give you all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I could have said, hey, I'm not going to be around somebody that looks like that. I'm not going to stay around for somebody that dresses like, or lack of dresses like that. I'm not going to do that. He doesn't deserve that. I'm going to go ahead and turn around. And in my eyes, I could have justified myself and cleaned up what that thought was. I could have done it. But that's not what the Lord wants. It's hard, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now, here's what you got to understand is this. Sometimes we get proud of ourselves. I want to show you this now. God knows what you're thinking. God knows even when you justify what you're doing, God knows why you justified it. This is what comes into motives. Now, listen. I've had lots of preachers and I've had lots of folks tell me, well, you go out soul winning and you do it for the wrong reason. You just go ahead and keep going no matter if it's for the wrong reason or not. That preaches real, real good. It does. But I'm going to tell you, across the country today, people are coming in giving you false numbers. People are coming in giving you lies. People are coming in and telling you that they're doing the things that they're doing. They're really not because they want to impress you. And here's the end of the day. God knows why you did what you did. God will bless why you did what you did. God will curse why you did what you did. So you showed up for soul winning. That's fantastic. I'm glad you came. We had about 20 some odd with the buses and the soul winners. We had about 20 some odd folks out for soul winning yesterday. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. But why you come does matter. A lot of preachers say, it doesn't matter why you come. You should just come. Hogwash. I think it does matter why you come. I think it matters because your heart ought to be to the position where you remember who you were. You remember somebody brought that message to you. Somebody brought that gospel to you. In your pride being a Christian, well, I'm saved now. They can just watch my life and get saved. That's not true. You don't live near good enough. So you've got to tell people about Jesus Christ. You have a desire to tell people about Jesus Christ. And sure, I want you to come out because it's the right thing to do. But at the very same time, you keep coming out, God will change your motives. God will start making you believe, man, this is something not only I should do, this is something I want to do because this world is dying and going to hell and I've got the message that they need. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord. I would to God we'd have t-shirts that are made up for this. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and then you'll stop complaining when you do them. Boy, it stopped dead right there. I get tired of people complaining. I do it too, by the way. I get tired of me complaining. I get tired of people complaining when they come to this church and have to do something. Huh? Why? What? Why are you doing the work? Why are you here? What? Brother Dave, this is what I want to do. I want to make sure the tissue boxes are filled. Well, that's a job. Hey, whatever. Say what you want. It's a job. Something's got to be done about the tissues. Tissues got to be filled. Why is that not big enough for you? Oh, wow, those stupid toilets. And I complain about them all the time. That's a job you can complain about. I think God will forgive you for complaining about that job. But it's amazing to me how people want to take on a ministry, take on a job, and then they complain to God about it when they get it. Or I'm not getting paid enough, or I'm not getting this enough, or I'm not doing this. What? Listen to me. If you're going to do something, do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it so Phil sees you. Phil sees everything. He's 8 foot tall. But you shouldn't be trying to impress Phil. You should be trying to impress God. Well, it's amazing to me. You don't have to have somebody in this building to come in and do work. You don't have to have somebody in this building to come and clean the bathroom. You don't have to have somebody. That's pride. That's pride. And pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Listen to me. If you want people to see you doing work, oh, you'll get your reward from the people that see you. But God's not impressed. That's why God wants you to enter into a prayer closet. Why? Because he doesn't necessarily care if you pray in front of people or not. God sees it. God understands your labor. God knows what you're doing. Why do you get sidetracked? Because of people. People and your pride. Don't tell me for 1 minute that God wants you to be sidetracked from doing his work. Don't tell me that. And I've done it. See, I'm coming to you telling you I've lived here. I've been here. I know I've done things before that I wanted people to see. And by the way, it's not that fulfilling when they see it. Because this is what happens, sure enough. You're not going to please everybody. You do any ministry whatsoever, take your pick. Take your pick of ministry. I promise you, you will not please everybody. And because you won't please everybody, you'll give up. Because you know who you hear from? Huh? You won't hear from the people that are pleased with you. You'll hear from those that aren't. You'll believe that that's overwhelming. Boy, you stay with me. I'm trying to teach you something today. If you commit your works unto the Lord, if you give what you can to the Lord and impress him, who cares what everybody else thinks? Make sure it lines up with Scripture now. Don't get crazy in your mind thinking, I'm going to do whatever I want to do because I'm doing it for God. That's pride. So you got to say, God, what do you want me to do? God says, I want you to pick up paper. God, I can't pick up paper unless somebody's here so they see I picked up paper. I want everybody to see I'm cleaning up the pew today. I want everybody to see I'm picking up. I loved having complaints about my school. It was my favorite thing in the whole wide world. I did a whole morning a rant on it. Oh, there's paper in my pews. That's because there was children there. You want to have a church full of clean freaks? Don't muzzle the oxen don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. You know why? He's got to eat too. And he's dirty and filthy, but if without the ox, you're pushing the dumb thing yourself. Here's what I don't like. I don't like folks that are willing to complain all day long, yet they don't lift a finger to do something for God. That's pride. That's pride. Pride is the thing that keeps you from doing what you would do for God because there's no one here to see you. Pride keeps you from that. Why? Because you've got to let people know what you're doing. I love it when people give me a laundry list of their accomplishments. My favorite thing in the whole wide world. Well, I changed light bulbs. I swept the floor. I mopped the bathrooms. They were hideous, by the way. I did 85 other different things, and I want to make sure you get this list. I would love to have him take that list and put it right here on this altar and say, God, what else can I do? Let me ask you a question, and I know we're dealing with pride today, but pride keeps us from doing things for God. Is God impressed? Is God impressed with you? Is there enough we could do for God? Is there enough? Is there enough things? Is there enough on this list that you could do for God to pay Him back for what He's done for you? Is there enough? Brother Brocious, I'm so glad you're here. I'm thankful that you're serving the Lord down in Argentina, brother. Is there enough you can do? You're on the other side of the world. Is there enough you can do for the service of your Lord to pay Him back for what He's done for you? Don't talk about your family. Talk about you. For you, you get to go to heaven someday. He's preparing a place for you. You cannot wait to grab a hold of that truth. But you won't grab a hold of a broom? Oh, boy. See, pride will keep us out of the church house. Pride will keep us out of the service of the Lord. Pride, because somebody will come to you and say, I wish you wouldn't pick up the paper like that. And you'll say, well, fine. I'm out of here. Piece of paper. Thank you for putting that there. Piece of paper. Now listen, I can do this with my life. And by the way, I've seen people do it. I can go ahead and try to track down the culprit. I don't know who's throwing the paper on the floor, but I'm going to find out. I had an associate pastor that worked here one time. We almost went to blows over this. Teenagers. I'm telling you, I had 30 of them in these first four pews. Teenagers. Are you kidding me? I had 30 of them, and it was filthy. Hey, whatever. It was. It was messy. You ever had a teenager? It was messy. And the pews were filled with, they gave away candy in Sunday school. I mean, what do you expect? Here's a piece of candy, but don't unwrap it. What? Sit a fat man in front of a bowl of chips, he's eating them. So they got all these kids sitting up here. The associate pastor, in his pride, grabs all of the paper, puts it in a trash bucket. I was the youth pastor at the time. He brought that whole thing full of paper and dumped it on my desk. I'm going to put a stop to the garbage in the pews by dumping it on your desk. I don't know how God restrained me that day, because it took God. I scooped up the paper and I put it in the trash. I gave him his bucket back. I said, he was running the Sunday school at the time. I said, I'll make you a deal. You quit giving my kids candy in the morning, I'll sweep up the pews before church in the evening. But it was pride that wanted the person to find out. This is what we have in America today. Pride wanting to find out whose fault it is. By the way, you can spend an hour trying to find out whose fault it is. Does that fix the problem? And I'm not saying that you just let the thing, it's all, let it run rampant. Oh, we don't care whose fault. We'll just keep all cleaning up. That's not the point. The point is we spend more time trying to find out how to stop something that is inevitably going to happen. They make vacuums for a reason. Because you're going to need to clean something up. We spend more time worrying about how in the world we can keep ahead of something, and I think you ought to be responsible, but at the very same time, I think that we should lose the pride and welcome the people. Well, pride's a difficult thing to overcome. Pride's a difficult thing to overcome because all your life you've been taught to be proud. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit what you do unto the Lord. You don't have to worry about retribution. You don't have to worry about any of these things. Why? Because you've already given it to God. It's already there. There it is, God. You have everything I do is for you. Your thoughts will be established. So if somebody comes up and says, really, I'd like you to do it a different way, hey, fine. I'm good with that. Why? Because my thoughts are already established because God has taken care of it. The Lord, by the way, the walking path. I haven't had anybody tell me this. I'm waiting for it. I haven't had anybody tell me this. I wouldn't have run the path that way. I haven't had anybody say that. I'm waiting for it. But haven't anybody say that? I have had a couple of people say, you know, there's little stumps, and I'm tripping on them. Coming to me. Little stumps. Amen. Thank you. Because if you'd have said something bad, that would have fit right in. Listen. No, seriously, listen. I've had little stumps. But there, do you know what? There is a cure for little stumps. Bring a shovel. Stump's gone. See, if we understand something in our life, the little stumps are there because you were not present to make sure the little stumps were removed. Ha ha! Gather in. Work. Do something for God. You see a stump, fix it. You see paper, pick it up. You see something going on, do it for God. Do it for God. Do it for God. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart. Listen to me now. I'm trying to teach you how to fix your life. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. An abomination to the Lord. Whatever happened to meekness in Christianity? Does it say except you? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Look at this next. I like this. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. One of the things that happens in a proud person's life. In a proud person's life, they will do something of this nature. Paper on the floor. Okay? Paper on the floor. They'll pick half of the paper up, if half of it down. Somebody will come along and say, boy, I wish you would have picked up all the paper. Wish you'd have just done the job the whole way. Somebody comes after them, tells them, boy, I wish you'd have picked up the whole paper. I wish the second person would have just picked up the second half and shut their mouth. But that's what happens. Okay, pick it up. All right, now, picked up the paper. Paper is laying there, half of it's there. And they start to argue with the person. Hey, listen, I wish you'd have done this. I wish you'd done that. Let's get Phil in. Phil, what do you think? Okay, now listen to me. I don't care if you're wrong with your life. If you are not doing correctly, if you get to a point in your life where you're proud, like this is why sin is running rampant throughout America today, because everybody's afraid to talk about sin. Everybody's afraid to say that homosexuality is wrong. Everybody's afraid that we don't even talk about drinking anymore. You know why? Because we're battling much, much bigger problems than alcohol today, but I still think alcohol should be mentioned. Now, you say, well, bless God, homosexuality, we should just love somebody. Phil, what do you think? Phil comes over here, says, I agree. You get somebody else over here, they agree. Now you got three people that agree. I don't care how many hands you join with, you're still wrong. The Bible's trying to teach you there, it doesn't matter how many people agree with what you say. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It is amazing, though, to watch sinners. It's amazing to watch people that do things like that, how quickly they look for somebody that's on their side. How quickly, well, Carl was there. Brother Dave loves him. If I can get Carl on my side, we'll be living. If it's wrong, I don't care if it is Carl. Do you know that's a big problem we have in churches today? We look on men so much. We care about what people think so much. One of my favorite people was just here, Dr. Bob Gray. One of my favorite people. Do you know I don't count on him for my faith? Do you know I don't count on him? Everything he says has got to be right. Do you know what Dr. Gray is? He's a sinner. Brother Brocious, you're a great man, wonderful missionary, been on the field forever. Understand this. If you fall off the field, if you fall off, something happens to you, you run away from the Bible or whatever it is, that's not going to hurt my faith at all. Because let me tell you something about men. They're all sinners. And it's amazing to me watching people join hand and hand and hand and hand and hand about a man, about what he says, about the books that he writes or the things that he quotes and all these things. Oh, I admire that man. What that man says now must be right. Hogwash. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's wrong. Go ahead, join hand in hand and hand in hand in hand. I don't care how many you got going with you. Abortion, still murder. I don't care how many hands you join together to get your alcohol. Alcohol is still wrong. I don't care how many people you join with you. Homosexual crowd. By the way, it's still less than 1% of the people of the United States of America are homosexuals. But you would think that it's about 90. I don't care if it is 90. It's still wrong. But what happens in our life, we get to a point where we want to stop fighting, and then people get so proud in their lives that they won't commit their works unto the Lord. They'll get proud in heart. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I don't care who you agree with. If it doesn't line up with Bible, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. I don't care if you've got 150 people with you. But people are so worried about losing friendships today, so worried about, I don't want this preacher down the street to think I'm mean or to think I'm not. I don't care what preachers down the street think of me. I want to know what God thinks of me. We read, might as well go ahead and stop here again, 16, 18, and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's amazing how many people sell out for money. It's amazing how many people sell out for friendships of famous people. I never forget these guys that they do these. And by the way, I don't preach in a lot of places. I'm really not a very good person to qualify this statement, but let me help you out a little bit. If there's a preacher that's listed with his picture on a bulletin, and I know that preacher is not for the King James Bible or not for this or not for, and they stand against the things of God, guess whose face you won't see on the bulletin? If they call me up and say, hey, preacher, I'm going to give you $10,000 to come preach at this conference, and you're going to be preaching side by side with this person, and I know that person to be somebody that doesn't believe the Bible, I won't be there. You say, wow, you've never been offered 10 grand. You're right, I haven't. And I hope and pray that I've already made that decision enough that I would not go. But there's got to be a time when God is right. There's got to be a time when you stand up for what God says. You say, well, I'll go and set all that people in that conference. I'll go and set them right. No, you won't. I would rather be with the people that are lowly, seeking God's wisdom, seeking God to show them something instead of man. I would rather sit with them than worry about the proud in heart that are going to bash God's word. I don't care how much you give me. Look at chapter 21. Preacher, they can't wait until I stop talking about pride. I'm going to tell you, it's a concern for God. You know, God made it pretty plain, didn't he? I mean, as we go through, I to be honest, when I started out to study this, I started out with that verse we just read, pride goeth before destruction. But understand this, God makes it much, much worse than that. God makes it an abomination. Do you know what else is an abomination to God? Homosexuality. God is very, very unchanging. If he calls this an abomination over here, we're going to stand against that, no doubt about it. We're dead straight standing against homosexuality. But then you've got pride over here that is an abomination as well. I don't think God makes it, I mean, there's a difference, but I don't think God sees them as different. I think, matter of fact, I think the pride of a Christian probably stinks worse to God than that does. Because a Christian ought to know. Amen? Verse chapter 21, verse 23 and 24. We're going to start there. Look at this now. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Abraham Lincoln made that great statement. To be real honest with you, Abraham Lincoln took it from the Bible. He let's see if I can pull that statement up. I just thought about that. He that keepeth quiet, I can't remember. Anyways, it talks about something very similar to this. If you keep your mouth shut, people will think that you know what you're talking about. If you open your mouth, yeah, he that keepeth his mouth may be thought a fool, and then he opens his mouth and removes all doubt. But understand this. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. There's times to be mad. There's times to be mad. Did you know there's not a lot of times to be mad, though? There are times that righteous indignation that Christians always call upon so they can gossip and get mad at people. That righteous indignation. Well, this person said this wrong, and best God, I'm having righteous indignation towards them. Well, if you're having righteous indignation towards people, then take it to the people that you're having righteous indignation towards. Don't come to preacher talking about Carl having righteous indignation towards Carl. If you've got righteous indignation with Carl, take it to Carl. Tell Carl why you have righteous indignation. Then he'll reprove you using the Bible. You'll feel stupid. Proud wrath. We live our lives in a thought where we're always right. And that's where we mess up. God's always right. We're not. Let God be true and every man a liar. This Bible deals with us as people coming to the realization it's hard to get along with each other if we always believe that we're right. Because not everything is that way. This is always right. There's never a doubt about this. But the things in this world, paint color, carpet color, chair color, that is not always right. Now you give me purple chairs in here, we're probably going to fight. But anyway, praise the Lord. Go back to 21 verse 4. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, and high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. God is making no doubts about this throughout all the book of Proverbs and throughout all the scriptures for that matter, that anybody that thinks of himself more highly than he ought to think is wrong. It's what the Bible's teaching you. And God is very, very plain when he speaks of this. Turn to Proverbs 28. Verse 25. Boy, I tell you, these are all so good. Verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. There are folks that I know that literally go around stirring up messes. That's what they do. They stir up strife. Why? Because they believe they're right. You know, I'm tired. After 20-some years of ministry, I'm tired of always fighting. I'm tired of always nitpicking. I'm tired of always having this got to be this way because your convictions are this, or you're this, or you're this, and bless God. I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't line up with Bible, you don't have a fight. If it doesn't line up with Bible, I don't understand the fight. Look at this now. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. How do fat people get fat? By sitting around and eating. This is telling you of rest. This is telling you of soul rest. This is telling you of your soul being made fat. This is telling you of your realization that not everything has got to be a battle. There are things to fight for. But I'm going to tell you, not everything has got to be a battle. I've watched people turn around and storm out of this building over nothing because they were right. I've watched people stay up all night long because they were right. I'm going to tell you, why can't we leave that kind of stuff to the Lord? Why can't we let God take care of that? It's amazing to me. God takes too long. Amen. How many times have you thought about this? You've got an enemy in your life. God, why don't you strike them down? That's pride. That's pride because you're saying I'm right and they're wrong. There are things that I will cut company over. There's no doubt about it. You come to me and tell me that the King James Bible is not the inspired word of God, I got to cut company with you. I can't do it. I won't hang with you. I won't be with you. I won't hang around you because I have a real problem. The conversation will eventually go there. And to me, it's not even an argument. To me, that's the way. Listen, I'm not going to go to a homosexual party. I'm not going to do it. And I don't care if it's even preaching. I don't want to be with them. I want to be with church people. I want to be with people of God that are towing the same line, going the same direction. I want to be with people like that that can have the world realize what the world is and realize what's going on in the world and get rid of pride and try to coexist with each other and knowing that not everything is going to go your way. Boy, this is tough to hear. He that trusteth, verse 26, in his own heart is a fool. Boy, God is rough on us, isn't he? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. How do you walk wisely? Boy, that's another study, the word wisdom, the word knowledge, how God says to get it, how God says to find it, how God says if you have it, it's worth more than riches. Do you know where you find wisdom? Do you know where you find knowledge? In the fear of the Lord and the study of His Word. You know, it's amazing to me how many problems could be solved if we'd let God solve them. How many problems could be solved if God got involved and we'd let God get involved in our lives. Let's go to the last one. I'll quit with this. Chapter 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. The more I look at this and the more I study this, the more I come to the realization God's begging you to trust Him. Let me help you. Do you realize that all of the things that I've tried to help myself with, too, by the way, I didn't bring this lesson to come and hammer on you. I didn't bring this lesson to browbeat you. I brought these things because I looked at this as part of my life. I looked at pride as a problem I have. And most preachers won't admit that. Oh, preach because you're holy. I'm a holy man of God. I understand that, but I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, and in my life, I've got pride as an issue, and it is with yours too. God wouldn't have had me bring this if it wasn't an issue. God wouldn't have showed me this if it wasn't an issue. God is begging you through all of this. And it's not that difficult, Brother Phil. God is begging us to trust Him. That's what it is. God is begging us to trust His Word. God is begging us to learn from Him. God is begging us to ask Him. God is begging us to rely on Him. If we rely on us, we won't succeed. We rely on other men, we won't succeed. But if we rely on God, we cannot fail. What He's trying to teach us is, you're not that great, but He is that great. Boy, this is not very happy times, Brother Dave. You're supposed to tell me how wonderful I am. You are wonderful, no doubt about it. Listen, you have to be something pretty great because God sent His only begotten Son down to this earth to die for you. But He did that hoping and praying and desiring that the will that you've been given will end up in His hands. That's difficult now. Well, amen, but you may not live that way. If you look at these verses, a man's pride shall bring him low. You be proud. No, that will bring you low. Do you know you won't be satisfied even when you're proud of yourself? You look at these multi-billionaires. Look at Bill Gates. You think he's happy? Oh, Brother Dave, if you don't know because you've never had that much money. People that have a lot of money don't live very long. They just want more money. Does he give any of that to churches or the work of God? If you're not doing things for God, you're not going to be pleased. There's a void, there's a hole, there's something missing in there because you're not in the service for your King. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Well, wait a minute, where'd this honor come from? I thought we weren't supposed to have any honor. That honor's not coming from men. I'm glad my dad loves me. No doubt about it. But if he never praised me again, Never. That should not stop me from preaching. If he never, boy, please don't take this wrong. But there are people that have left this work because they were not getting their back pat enough. There are people that have left this work because they did not get up on this platform and had well enough spoken of them for doing things that they did. There are people that have been through this work, come and gone. Good people, nothing wrong with the people. But if they don't get your thankfulness, if they don't get your applause, and we clap for everything here. If they don't get that applause and praise, I'm going to tell you right now, they get mad. Let me help you a little bit. Brother Brocious, and I know I keep picking on you, sir, but you just look like you need to be picked on today. Brother Brocious, if you come to this church and we don't mention your name, we don't talk about you, is that going to stop you from serving in Argentina? And we always do. We love preachers, love military, all those people. We always talk about them. What's amazing to me, though, is that there are people that rely on our praise and our thoughts and our talking about them. They rely on that to serve God. And I'm going to tell you, if that's what you rely on to serve God, you won't serve God for very long. Brother Carl, you keep keeping on no matter if you get talked about or not. And that's hard for people to hear. That's hard for preachers to come up with. Oh, Brother Dave, your message was bad today. That could very well be, but it's what you needed. Whether you like what I preach to you or not is irrelevant to me. I want God to be pleased. I believe God wanted me to talk about pride. It wasn't fun at all. I didn't enjoy it at all because God beat the fire out of me with it. I wonder if we needed it. I wonder if we needed it. Dear Lord, I thank you so much this morning for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I believe this is a problem in many folks, including myself. Lord, I know I need you. Oh God, I need to give you more credit for the things that you do in my life. I need to give you more credit for the things that you're going to do in my life. And Lord God, I just need to be about your business. No matter what's going on, Lord, I need to be concentrating on you, not on myself, not on what I can get, Lord, but what you can give me. And Lord, I need you. Oh God, please. I need you in my life to let me know that you're going to take care of it. I need you in my life to know that you got everything under control. And Lord, please help us throughout this day. Help us to, what a Father's Day Sunday school. Lord, I don't know why it happened that way, but that's the way it happened. Lord, please bless our dads. Oh God, bless my dad in Toledo going to church right now this morning. Lord, please bless him as he goes to church. Lord, be with his life. Let him always turn to you. Lord, I think about my father-in-law. Thank God for all his years of service. Lord, it was because of you that he did these things, Lord, and I hope and pray that that continues. Lord God, be with all the dads, all the men represented here today. Let them know that they should be relying on God because you're going to take care of them and always make them a good success. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take a break for about 4 or 5 minutes.